Isn't it great to be a Christian? Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. We know that power to be Jesus Christ. And unto him it says, be glory in the body of Christ, the church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. And together we say, amen. That's a magnificent passage that encompasses all of the great things that Christ does for you and for me. I hope that that's a passage that you can be reminded of often. Maybe you'll commit it to memory yourself, and that it will encourage you. We continue in our study of angels. Well, you say, I'm saying ours, and I know you're saying, well, that's your choice, Bob. You're right. I've been choosing this. One of my dear professors, Brother E.W. McMillan, he started his classes every day that we would have class with him with a line that was basically, I begin every day with prayer about my lesson for you, and I study it fresh each day. Well, whenever we wanted to imitate Brother Mack in some kind of a skit or a play in front of the group, why, that phrase might get notoriety for us. To everybody would know who we were talking about when we'd use that phrase if you'd had a class with Brother Mack. But I'm saying to you that, do y'all ever have a day where you get up and everything's out of sync? Now, I know probably most of you don't, but me, I do. I have some of those days. This is one of them. Everything's just kind of going here and there. I want you to know that this study of angels, I have been pouring myself into, and I hope that my goal is that you, as well as myself, not only learn things, but that we have some practical application to our daily life. That's my goal for you to be able to take away from here something that is very practical for your life here in, well, Henderson, Texas in 2021. How many of you are looking forward to 22? Nobody. Okay. No one's looking forward to 22. Well, some back there starting out. Yeah, okay. 21's been kind of one of those for the record books, huh? A lot of different things happening in our lives. Maybe different challenges. And yet, at the same time, a lot of good things have taken place for us. Today, our lesson today is still the concept of Lord, surround us, because the angel of the Lord camps or encamps itself around those who fear the Lord, and he delivers them. That's the passage we read in Psalm 34 and verse 7. But today, Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12, for he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all of your ways. They will bear you up in their hands that you do not strike your foot against a stone. Now, this is a great reading if you go in there and read. And I'm going to tell you that that passage, of course, has a direct reference to Jesus our Lord. But I mention it to you for you to begin to see a relationship between Jesus Christ the Lord, our Savior, and the angels. And I'm going to use a word that's probably not a common a common word in our conversations most days. I'm going to use poignant, which according to the dictionary means something that touches the heart. Touches the heart. Something close inside. Paul says something about that. Well, actually, Luke records it, but their hearts are pricked. They were pricked in their heart, we read in the book of Acts. It means they were touched. It means they were touched by what they heard and what they saw. And I really hope today that in this lesson that you will see a touching relationship between angels and Jesus and what that can mean for you. Because, as I've already explained, I'm not going back through all of these other lessons for you today. You said, amen. But we have a special relationship because we are the heirs of salvation. And the Hebrew writer tells us that the angels themselves are the spirits that minister to the heirs of salvation. And that's you. That's me. And what I've tried to do is to get all of the passages together, which I was totally amazed at, that I had just sort of read over myself. I mean, I saw them there. I don't mean I didn't see them, but I never read them like this, that I'm seeing the involvement of the angels as being the messengers of God, carrying out God's plan. And, of course, the Scriptures tell us that God has created them. And we've learned a great number of things about that. He will give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all of your ways, and he will bear you up in their, they will bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. When Paul is writing in the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 3 and verse 16, he says, by common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. Now, you think about that. That's a deeper statement than maybe we think into the idea of just reading it. But becoming godly or being like God, what does that really mean? It's a mystery. That's what part of what we're going to try to explore some today. How does that happen? He who was revealed in the flesh. Everybody knows that's Jesus, right? He who was revealed in the flesh was vindicated in the spirit. And he was seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, and believed on in the world, taken up in glory. And I want you to think about today who in all of the world could be more known than the name of Jesus Christ. No one. Who can be known for thousands of years that they are the Son of God, that He was, He is God's Savior, His Son, in flesh, to live among us and to be part of us. When you're reading in the book of John, over in chapter 3, there's a verse 34, that says that Jesus was given the Spirit without measure. And that means that Jesus has no limitation. And I hope that you understand that and believe that, that even while he was in human flesh, the embodiment of who we are, Because you see, that's the only way the sacrifice would satisfy what God is looking for in terms of an atonement and in terms of the blood washing us clean, is that His Son would come and be like us, made, as the Scripture says, a little lower than the angels. That would be like us. And I'm going to remind you that on the third day, He was selected, if you will. He rose from the grave. He conquered the Hadean world and became the Savior of all of us. All of those who would believe upon Him. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have what, congregation? Everlasting life. That is the great promise that we live under. John 3 and verse 16, you learned it in Bible school right away, early in your life, if you went there. So, here's a question for you. And I want you to just be thinking about that question. While Jesus was here, like us, do you think He was privy to be able to see the heavenly host? Do you think He was able to see what He already knew? What you and what me, we don't know. Because I haven't been there. I have not yet seen all of that. Do you believe Jesus knows that? Do you believe that Jesus can still see it? And be aware of it? Think about it. I want to bring you back to the concept here now of Jesus and His involvement with angels, if you will. And I want to bring you to what we call the nativity scene, or the birth scene, if you will. And that's appropriate. We're getting into a season where people are thinking about that. And regardless of whether or not that's an accurate thing about when it happened, regardless of whether you have some kind of feeling about that, you will certainly agree with me, I hope, that Jesus was born. Hello? And aren't you glad that He was? That He was brought into the world for the purpose of giving His life for our sin. Jesus was born. But when you read about the activity about His birth, you're going to learn a number of different things that are taking place. First of all, in the beginning of it, and we had a reading that came from the book of we were reading from the New Testament, Kenneth was, but he was quoting the great prophet Isaiah from chapter 40 and telling us of what was being said there. And there was a priest, mind you, Zacharias. He and his wife Elizabeth are both fine people. They are godly people following God. And an angel appears to Zacharias and tells him about the birth of a son that will be his son from Elizabeth. And announces that this John the Baptist, who's going to preach in the wilderness, as the scripture we read about. And Zacharias says to the angel, basically, well, now wait a minute. How am I going to know this is so? Well, the angel says, I'm the angel Gabriel here. I've been sent here by God. And because of this, you're going to be struck blind and dumb. You won't speak and you won't see. The same angel, Gabriel, is going to appear to a woman by the name of Mary and going to say to her that she is going to birth the Christ child. Same angel, basically same talk. What's in you is of the Holy Spirit, says the Scripture. You can read it for yourself. But we have a different response from Mary. She is one who simply tells us, "Be it unto me according to your word." In other words, as you have said, that's the way it'll be. I'm going to believe it. And there is no hint of doubt in her response. Two different responses from two godly people. Even though an angel has been in their presence. Has there been an angel in your presence? There's a warning over in the book of Hebrews, that is, to be careful to entertain strangers. Is that not right? Do you know that passage? Because some folks have entertained what folks? Let me hear you. Angels, how? Unaware. Didn't know it. Didn't know it. I know you think I've just lost all my marbles, huh? I'm asking you to broaden your mind some about how God goes about carrying out the marvelous things that He does for us. That He sends messengers to help people understand. I told you the story of Mary and Zacharias in parallel here because, you see, there are messengers being sent and giving them the information they need, and yet there were two different responses. And I'm just simply indicating to you that that could very well be the possibility for us even today. In a number of instances. Did you ever think about, I wonder, if you'll go read history, you'll find out that Joseph and Mary, when Joseph finds out that Mary is expecting a child, she's pregnant. Now, under Jewish law, if that happened in that engagement period that he and Mary have entered, that meant that they must be divorced. And then under that law, that they would have to go through that. It would be a very, public thing, if you will. And you probably remember in the Scripture that Joseph initially is thinking, I want to take care of this privately. For the least amount of suffering for everybody. That's the idea behind it. What is Mary going to tell her parents? What is she going to explain to Joseph? Well, I spoke to an angel. That's her response, right? Well, yes, that is correct. That is accurate. But how is all of that going to happen? I labored over this response to you, so I typed it out, so I'm going to read it the right way, or at least the way I think makes sense to me, okay? But there is a tendency in mankind, I believe this, to deny the things that appear to me, to us, as either difficult or maybe even impossible. And a lot of times, I think we're evasive about our response. We think that issues with controversy or mystery, well, rather than study them, our response is to not talk about them. We're quiet about it. However, it's just me thinking, and you can take it up with me. That's fine. However, all subjects from the Bible ultimately have proven over the years to be controversial or mysterious. I'm just going to say this. You see, baptism, for example, can both be understood and is a very practical thing. And in my own mind, I think if you look back at Old Testament teaching, you will see the involvement of the idea of water washing away or saving people a number of times. I'm not calling it baptism. I'm simply calling it a means by which God chose to deliver his people. Okay? What would you call going through the Red Sea? What would you call crossing over the Jordan? What would you call the flood that destroyed everything with the exception of what Noah crammed in the ark and his family? I don't know what you would call that. But in terms of angelology, talking about angels, that's what we've been doing. It can both be understood and it can be utilized because I don't fully understand it. How God saves people in baptism, for example, does not invalidate the idea that baptism saves. Hello? Didn't Peter say baptism doth also now save you? Okay. Do I understand all of that exactly? No. Not really. I don't. I just know what God has said about it. I know what the examples have been. And so, the fact that it doesn't invalidate the concept that it can happen that way. Sometimes it's not always understood that way. God's idea is obedience. They are given to us that we might believe them and obey them, and then we are saved on the basis of faith. That is, I've responded to them because God asked me to do it, and I believe that what he said about it, that it's true. He that believeth and is baptized will be what? Let me hear you. Do you fully understand it? Now, how many believe God answers prayer? Let me see your hands. Who believes God answers prayer? How does he do it? Well, obviously, if you pray longer than anybody else, he ought to be answering yours. He just wants you to shut up. That'd be common sense, right? And I'm not trying to be disrespectful there in any means. I'm simply pointing out to you, you believe in a lot of things that you can't explain. You don't fully grasp. You don't really get all of what's in there. Jim, there's an interesting passage over when Jesus is talking in the book of John, or actually, this is in John 8, and I believe it's in verse 41 or 2. So read the whole book and you'll get it. He's talking to the Sadducees and the Pharisees who don't believe in a resurrection. And he's got Pharisees there that just don't believe in him because they're too obstinate to get there. And he tells them that if they were actually children of the Lord, Abraham's children, then they would believe and do what Abraham did. So they respond to him in verse 41, I think it is, "We are not the people born of fornication. I want you to think about the implication of what might be being said there. Do you think that some of these know the history of Joseph and Mary? Do you think it's possible they were throwing a rock at Jesus in that fashion? You're the one who is born out of wedlock, quote unquote. Because they don't believe in him as the son. Am I right about that much? And I'm not saying that's the interpretation here fully. They're saying that they're not from another tribe or another group. I know they are. But I'm trying to get you to see that there's a whole lot that goes on in the understanding and the allowing of what, well, the angels have told us about, that the ministry, you see, of providence does not open the door to miracles. And I think that's what prevents us sometimes from understanding how active angels are with us, is we're afraid, we're telling everybody that God did this miraculous thing with just me. No, he was speaking to you. And I would almost say, I don't want to use the word bet in the church building here, but I would bet there's everybody here that would say, I don't know how he did it, but I can look back on it and I can see where God was directing me in my life and sending me somewhere that I needed to be. Hello? You ain't never been there? Well, then you haven't been living the Christian life very long. I may not be able, Jim, to look down in the future and tell everybody what God's fixing to do for me, but I can tell you by experience, when I look back at my life, where God was helping me through difficult times. Did he do it with an angel? I don't know. I only know that Jesus knows what he's doing. In all of these other events, Jesus is born. He's now starting his ministry. He goes off into the wilderness to be tempted. You remember that? Satan knows how to quote scripture, doesn't he? Turn all of these stones into bread. You remember what Jesus said? Man does not live by bread alone. You see, angels don't only announce the birth, they attended it. They were there. They're a part of it. He takes him up on a high place of the pinnacle of the temple and he says, cast yourself down. This is the idea of what we're quoting in the book of Psalms 91. Throw yourself down. Because why? Well, because the scripture says the angels will keep you from falling and pick you up. And Jesus says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You see, the idea is that angels are there. I believe the angels were present at the cross. I believe Jesus could see them. I believe Jesus, when he says to his disciples, cut it out. That's when the soldiers come to give him. Carry him off. Somebody wants to cut an ear off. Somebody wants to do battle with a sword. Jesus says, do you not know that I could call down the legion of angels at any moment and end this thing? But he doesn't. When he's through with the temptation,
Go back to Matthew 4 and read about it. When he's done, it tells us plainly the angels came and ministered to him after he resisted the devil. Did you ever think about when you exhibit the strength as a Christian to follow God instead of the crowd, that the angels come rejoicing to minister to you? I bet you don't. I don't think about that. You say, well, I'm not Jesus. Well, I know you're not, but you're like him. Didn't you put Jesus on? Aren't you going to appear to be like Jesus? You say, well, that's down in the future. I know that's down in the future. But do you not believe that angels are ministering to the heirs of salvation already? Is that not what he tells us in the book of Hebrews? That the angels are here? And then again, when Jesus is in the garden on his knees praying, let this cup pass from me, what happens? When he's done praying, the angels come to minister to him. That's what it says in Luke chapter 22. You see, Judas, why, he'd already sold him out, right? Peter, he's getting ready. He's denying him, isn't he? Aren't you one of them? No, I'm not one of them. When everything else, listen to me, when everything else fails, when mankind fails, when my friends fail, when the people around me fail, it tells me plainly the angels are there. Even when they abandoned Jesus, the angels came to him because of a touching, poignant, special relationship that he has with them. Is that not a relationship you desire to have? Is that not something you want for yourself? When you get to the resurrection, how do you deny the angels? It's the angels who roll aside the stone. They don't do that so Jesus could get out, right? Because Jesus could get out anyway. Right? You're awful quiet. The stone is rolled away because people can look in. So they can see that this is where Jesus was. And that they can go and tell the story that he's risen again. He announces to the women, the angels do, that Jesus, he's not here. He's risen. He's not here. In the presence of those in the white, illuminated garments, the soldiers are as dead men. Yeah, the enemy, you see, is stymied. Brethren, when Jesus ascended in Acts chapter 1, there were two men in bright clothing. Who do you suppose they were? Well, it doesn't say angels, but the only one that wears bright clothing besides Pat Brack, got to be angels. I love you, Pat. I miss you, honey. What do they say? What are y'all doing here standing around looking up? Go on into Jerusalem and wait for me there. I'm trying to get you to see that the angels are powerful. And here's the thing that really sells me in Acts 1. All the time before, whenever the angels came, the apostles are nervous and afraid. In Acts 1, when Jesus ascends and goes back to heaven, they are calm. And they go back into Jerusalem to do what they've been told. And they go back into Jerusalem with optimism, with enthusiasm. And they get ready for what's about to take place. When the Bible talks about the second coming, what's involved in the second coming? When Jesus comes for the second time in flaming fire with His mighty friends, His angels, taking vengeance on those who obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ. The angels, you see, are there. That's Jesus' teaching. Protection. Taking care of us. Watching over us. Go underline in your Bible Matthew 18 and verse 10. Here are the words of Jesus. Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father who is in heaven. Are you listening, congregation? How much more proof do we need? Do I understand how? Not really completely. Do I know how to be able to tell that to you in a logical form? Not really. But I know it's here. I know it's revealed. I know that Jesus had a special relationship with the angels, and that when I'm buried in baptism into Christ Jesus, I come into a special relationship with Him. I say unto you, He says, that hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. That's John 1, verse 51. The story of Jacob's ladder over in the book of Genesis. If you don't, go look it up and read about it. I want to remind you of one last passage. It's in the book of 2 Kings. It's found in the verses 6 and 7, I do believe. Let me turn over there and get it. Well, how about verses 15 and 16? Now, this is when King Aram, the Syrian king, meets the people at Dothan. And Elisha is the great prophet. And Elisha's servant wakes up and sees the Syrian army all around Dothan. And he says and asks a great question that happens numerous times in the Bible. The servant comes back to see Elisha and he says, "Master, what shall we do?" And Elisha says, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And then Elisha said, "Lord, open my servant's eyes, so that he may see." And behold, he opened the servant's eyes, and the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And I'm saying to us, as Christian people, do not fear, for they that are with us are more than those that are with them. Can I get an amen on that at least? I love you. I want to encourage you with this. I hope you'll read it and study it and become convinced in your heart of how God watches over us providentially through His created beings, the angels. If you're here today and we can assist you with anything in your life, whether it's becoming a Christian, whether it's just getting your life on track, we invite you to come.